following is an unrehearsed taped interview with Douglas and Beth Tillery, dairy farmers in Jackson County, Kentucky. The interview was conducted by Jenny Scott for the Oral History Commission. The interview was conducted at the Tillery's farm in Jackson County on August 3rd, 1983 at 11 o'clock a.m. Okay, we'll begin. Mr. Tillery, you tell me your name, age, when and where you were born, your parents' names, anything in your background you'd like to add.
Well, my name's Doug Tillery. I'm 26. I was born at Patty A. Clay, and I've been raised here on the farm all my life. I went to Eastern, a degree in dirt herd management, and I decided to come back and start milking cows and farming for a life.
Who's your parents?
My dad and mom's Coleman Tillery, and my mom's name is Canute Tillery.
Are they from Jackson County?
Yeah, they're originally from Jackson County. They were born and raised in Jackson County. He had farmed all of his life.
Who were your grandparents?
W.D. Tillery and... I can't think of my grandma's name. That's where I came from.
A lot of separate problems.
It's been so long. She's dead now.
Were they from Jackson County, too?
Yeah.
So the family's been here?
The whole family is from Jackson County.
Been here a few years, then.
Quite a while.
Well, did you grow up on this farm?
Mm-hmm. We moved out. My dad and mom moved out here when I was 6 months old and I've lived here since.
Hmm. Did they own a farm for that? And live on the farm?
They bought this one. And he cleared it up. I guess he had it 7 or 8 years before. Then they lived on a smaller farm on out the road about a mile or 2 miles from here.
So they'd always been farmers?
Yeah, more or less.
Was your dad a dairy farmer? Or
mm-hmm.
Was he?
Yeah, well, in fact, we bought the dairy from him. Farm we've got now.
Is your father still living?
Mm-hmm. He and mom both are. They live up on top of the
farm. Still on the farm. You never leave, do you?
I don't know.
Farmers don't leave that farm.
If I had the choice of leaving to another farm, I would.
Maybe. In Jackson County? Or
no, out of Jackson County.
Out of Jackson County? Why?
It's just, well, like we are here, we just have to rent ground all over the county, and that's just a big hassle.
Well, how big is your farm here now?
164 acres. With only 20 acres, it's reasonable, tillable.
Is the rest of it in timber, or is it hills?
80 acres of it's in timber, and the rest of it's in pasture ground, steep.
Nothing you raise crop on. Mm-hmm. Do you have any big timber?
It's not really big. It's like 30, 40 year old. We had a Forest Service guy come in and survey, and he said he'd all need to cut. So
you could cut it now and get some money out of it.
Well, I don't know about getting the money, but you can get it now. Timber selling pretty cheap, they say. I don't know. We've been trying to get somebody to come and give us an estimate, but we never got around to it.
80 acres, that's a lot of timber. You could sell a lot of firewood, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Seems like that's all I see is trucks coming by with firewood anymore. Mm-hmm. And when did you buy this farm, Mr. Phillips?
1978.
With all the equipment, everything here?
The biggest majority of it was. We picked up a tractor and a few odds and ends. Yeah. Since we've been here, manure spreader, stuff like that.
How much equipment do you own? Could you list it?
All the parts.
Well, the big machinery.
We got three tractors, manure spreader, silage chopper, two silage wagons, hay bine, hay bale, rake, corn planter, sprayer, grinder mixer.
Wow. You have a silo?
Mm-hmm. Well, we got a trench, bunker type.
What's that?
It's 28 foot wide and 110 foot long. It's got walls built up on the side.
Same thing as the silo, except it's
on the ground.
Down.
Yeah.
Okay, I've never heard of one of those.
Well, it's easier if you have one up. It's a lot of work, but kind of we have, you have to pack all the stuff
down.
It
there.
Takes three good people to get in. One to chop, one to bring in, another to pack and level down.
See, we had land. We had to rent land all over this county, and we had to haul silage.
10 miles away from home, that runs away up in the money.
It cost us a fortune just to haul.
Makes that feed then run sky high, doesn't it?
That's why we can't farm here.
How much land do you lease or rent or whatever to grow crops?
Well, this year we're not raising corn because of that, but we lease about 150 acres of hay ground.
Here in the county?
Mm-hmm. And it's, well, one of them's about 10 miles away, one's 15 miles away. It's 110 acres on one, 40 on the other place.
Well, take that 110 acres. How much did it cost you?
$2,500 a year.
Just the lease, it's not counting gas, haul bill.
Yeah, that's what I mean. To get the hay back here, how much did it cost you?
We've never set
up to sit down and figure out, like this year, we won't know till we get through.
It's much higher than anybody else has.
It runs into quite a bit. Was this?
Does it pay off?
It's getting us by. I'm going to say that. It's not paying. It's really, if you sit down and thought about it, it's not really paying us off.
Just breaking.
You know, it's easy. All we can do with what we've got.
That's right. We have to do it, whether it pays off or not. We have to, if we want to continue farming.
You don't have a choice.
That's right. True. See, like last year, now last year we already silage, corn silage, and we rent 60 some acres, and per ton, it was costing us like $38 a ton for silage, and you can buy silage for $20. So I was way off base.
Just quit.
Beating your head against the rock.
Yeah.
More or less.
But we don't want to quit. I mean, we don't want to give up. Our hope is that someday we can get off of this. It's a pretty farm to look at, but you can't farm it. But we still have to pay the interest on land, whether it's steep or whether it's flat, which is stupid. We need something flat that we can use. Plus, we have to rent all that other land. We really need a farm that we can farm. Because we're paying double what
double just to live here.
An average farmer is paying for a flat, good, tillable land.
Well, if you had the same amount, flat, tillable land.
They say take a farmer who's farmed on land like this, if he can make it, and you put him on a flat farm, he'll get by.
Could you have the same amount of cattle and grow your own crops?
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah, we could have more.
On the same amount of land.
If we had 180 flat acres, we could do so much.
Well, how many head of cattle do you run?
We're milking 38 right now. We want to try to get up to 45, and we've got 15 dry cows and 15 heifers. It's
about 82 head of cattle, I guess, counting the babies on them.
On the pasture, then?
Mm-hmm.
And those all have to be fed?
Mm-hmm.
Plus the pasture. What kind of cattle do you have?
Holstein.
All of them Holstein? Mm-hmm. Pure?
Mm-hmm. They're not registered, but they're pure. Artificially breed, so they're
purebred. Purebred Holstein. Does that milk, who do you sell to?
Southern Bell.
Does it pay the...
Well, according, it's hard to say. They're very little difference, I'd say, in the two companies, DI and Southern Bell. It's Flavor Ridge now, I think it's called.
Have you ever sold to Flavor Ridge?
Yeah. Well, I haven't, but my dad did up till 72, and then we switched to Southern Bell.
How come?
I'd rather not say.
They hoodoo his dad. We don't know the story. We just know that.
I know pretty much of the story, but...
Yeah, in 72, that was just about the time Chapel sold out to Slavery, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's all the same company.
Okay. I was working for the company in 72.
You were working for who? Flavor Ridge.
I was working for Chapels during the turnover, yeah. So that's why I still have a lot of...
DI.
There were a lot of that. There was a lot of that going around at that time. So
I think in 72, wasn't that when they put everybody on base or wanted everybody to go on base? Something like that. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a big reason we didn't want to go on. And so how can we come up with high bacteria counts and got cut off for about 2 or 3 months?
When they went to the other milk company, they couldn't find any high bacteria. It was only DI said they found high bacteria.
Yeah, well, that was kind of going around at that time. Now, Mr. Chapel wasn't like that when he had it, I don't think. He didn't have all the problems.
I think that they picked up with DI when we sold out to Flavor Ridge.
DI's too big. They can't.
Oh, they had companies. They had milk plants all over Virginia and Tennessee and Kentucky when they picked up. When they went over, changed over, they had them.
Like here in Jackson County, there's only four that milk that sell to Southern Bell, and the rest are you guys.
Is that right?
Yeah, and there's 40-some-odd dairies in Jackson County.
So that's
County.
The rest that goes beyond.
You know.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't realize there was that big a difference.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, up till, well, in fact, up till a year ago, we were the only ones that sold the Southern Bell.
And D.I. would come every other week and begging us, oh, get over here with us. We'll take care of you, blah, 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 blah.
But you stuck with Southern Bell.
Yeah.
Where's their headquarters now?
Somerset.
It's still in Somerset? Mm-hmm. They're a lot smaller, but they're hanging in there.
Yeah, they are hanging in there.
They sure are. Well, your primary source of income, without a doubt, is the cattle. Mm-hmm. Do you raise tobacco at all?
Not up until this year. We got this year.
We had to
get that cash crop in.
Mm-hmm.
What's the base? What's your base?
Well, our base here on the farm is 1,900 pounds. We've got at least 8,000 pounds. So.
That's going to be a big cash crop, then, isn't it?
Well, hopefully, but...
It all goes
to Anderson.
It was either that or give up now.
And we don't want to give up.
I hate tobacco.
Well, who works the tobacco?
We do.
Do you hire outside help?
Only when we have to.
Will you have to cutting it?
Well,
yeah.
I guess we will. We've got to say it would pay us to go ahead and get somebody that.
Good.
You know, to go ahead and get it done and rather let me cut it all myself.
Well, they have crews that come in, kind of those traveling crews that...
You gotta watch those fellas. They don't care how you treat your stuff. You end up hyping the back off the stick.
And, you know, they split it out and they'll put it back on and go and put it in the barn.
But if you could get a good crew for...
Yeah, we try to do everything ourselves.
Well, hopefully this year I'm going to try to... Well, you have a... tobacco cutting contest, and I'm going to try to let them do my tobacco so I can get the biggest majority of it cut for us.
I think that'd be okay.
I saw the county agent the other day, and he said he'd come and check on it because my tobacco, well, it's pretty good size tobacco, it's doing good.
You better knock on wood, buddy.
He said he'd check and see all what had to be done, and if they got 20 cutters, well, 56 persons.
That's a lot of tobacco.
Well, back I don't want to pay you out cut.
That's right, or a lot you don't have to cut. Will you do the housing yourself? Or?
Well, I'll have to hire somebody's help there, too.
How much does farm laborers charge?
And tobacco, it's awesome.
It's $5 to $6 an hour if you're lucky to get anybody for that now.
Around here, you can't get anybody to work.
For hay, we have to pay $3, $4. It just depends.
But, but do you have to hire people in hay, too?
Yeah, because we put it on the square bill, so around there.
So you have to hire them to house it, haul it and house it.
That runs down to quite a bit of money.
Why don't you use the round bales?
Can't afford to buy a round bale.
We'd like to.
Those suckers are $8,000 to $9,000.
We just can't
go in debt and not do that. More than we already are.
But they are in the long run.
Oh, sure.
After you get the bale, they are cheaper.
Yeah,
because like I could put the hay up myself at a round bale. No problem.
Just stack it out in the field.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do people have trouble with it rotting here, or have they pretty well got that straightened out?
Yeah, I'd say it depends on the baler and the operator. Some people have good luck and some don't.
If you roll them real tight.
If you have a conditioner to see.
Oh, that's the only way to cut hay, the hay bind.
Well, when they first started, they didn't have that, did they?
Mm-hmm.
The conditioner. And I know a lot of it rotted at the very beginning. Well, back to the tobacco. Are you going to bale it?
Mm-hmm.
Or you are going to bale it?
Yeah.
How many grades?
Three
grades. Is that, do they used to use five?
I've never known
them. But they did.
Here, I'd say they probably have, but we've never used. Three's all we've ever used.
Well, does baling get cut down on your profit, or?
No, it makes more in profit. You save a lot in labor.
By baling.
See, that's what these farmers like us up is the labor.
If you can't can't do it yourself, you better not get into it.
What about sharing out with other farmers? Do you do that any, or?
No.
It's just not worth it, sharing out the work.
Don't have time. We can't even get our own work done. We'd love to do that. But, you know, we don't have time to do our own work, much less.
Well, how many cows did you say you were milking?
38.
38 right now.
And who does that?
Well, I do it in the
morning.
He does
it in the morning, and I do it in the night, in the evening. He gets up at 4 o'clock every morning, and I'm out at 4 o'clock every evening.
How long does it take?
Takes me 3 hours. It takes him two and a half,
something like that. That works out pretty good, because that way I don't have to quit cutting hay, come in, you know, she can go ahead and go. Makes a lot of difference when you got somebody to help you, and you don't have to haul all of that.
Dairy farmers are kind of tied down, aren't you?
Oh,
we
have
vacation. Can't even, and that's what's so bad about Jackson County. If you want any kind of entertainment,
you have to go
out of the county to get it. And by the time we get done milking and working, it's 7 or 8 o'clock. Then when you take cleanup time, you know, clean up to go somewhere, well, by that time you're exhausted. It's 9 o'clock. Then by the time you get to Richmond, everything is closed. So we have absolutely no social life at all. None.
Well, what is there to do in Jackson County?
There's nothing to do. Nothing.
You have to go out of the county.
Yeah.
Do you shopping here?
No. If you want, they never heard of lemons or fresh fruit. I can't even go get an apple. It's the truth.
There are no shopping centers.
There's
here.
No. Wow. Golly. There's nothing. No, I'm telling you, there's absolutely nothing in Jackson County. And these people, I've been here 5 years and I hate it, but they say that there's, you know, the big people with all the money, the people that run this county, they won't let anything come into this county. I don't know why. I don't know if that's true, but that's what I've heard. But there's absolutely nothing here, that's for sure.
The town hasn't grown a lot.
No way. It's progression. There's no progress here. It's
the only progress is the...
It's 1930 in Jackson County.
The welfare houses.
Yeah, that's progress.
But what does call that progress.
What do other people do here for entertainment?
Sit around and have babies. That's about it.
That's about it.
Yeah.
The rich people, you know, people that do work and have money, they all go out of the county for entertainment because there's nothing here. But people like us, we have to work so late, you just can't. There's no time. By the time you get ready to go, it's 10 o'clock.
It's too late, too.
And we never get to go nowhere together.
We never do. My family lives in Northern Kentucky, and I go home. He has to stay here, or when he goes, I have to stay here.
Somebody has to say you're doing milking.
One of us, yeah.
Why dairy farming then? Why did you settle on dairy farming as opposed to beef?
Because dairy farming, every 2 weeks, whether your milk doesn't bring much or not, you get a check and you can pay your bills. Whereas beef cattle, it takes 6 months to a year to get your beef cattle ready to sell, and you know it's not a constant. It's more like
you're dependent on the market again,
right?
Aren't you? That little bit of check. Have you ever tried hogs? Have you grown up? Sorry. You want to tell me about that?
When we first started 5 years ago, when we bought the farm, we had hogs. We had 30 brood sows.
Plus the dairy.
Plus the dairy, too. It's a lot of work, I'll tell you.
What happened to the
first year? It was great. Hogs were okay, you know, you could make a profit, and we thought, oh, this is easy. We just started, and we thought, man, no wonder people farm. This is fun. We had money. We could, you know, we could pay the bills, and we could keep up with the stuff. And then the market, the hogs dropped. I mean, it fell out to the bottom. We couldn't even feed the hogs. Pay the feed bill. I couldn't believe it. And then I realized, I can't believe people do this for a living.
And they do it year after year after year.
That's the only way. If you're in the hog business, that's the only way you can't go in and out. You've got to take the bad years with the good years. But the bad years, boy, is what makes
we couldn't take the bad years, though.
Of course, we've got the cattle, too, that host the milking. And we were taking the profits from the cows to feed the hogs, and we decided to get rid of them.
Well, you can't just hold on to hogs because the market's
there. Right, yeah.
But we sold our sows and everything. That's what we decided.
We just decided to go one way or the other, either milk cows or do the hogs.
But we love fooling with hogs. It's hard to get out of hogs. We like to fool with the hogs, too. We kept, I had a sow that I kept, got me through college. She's had 24 pigs at a time. And I kept her, and then we got out of it, and then she had some more pigs, and we thought, oh, well, hogs got high again. So we kept some guilt. And we just got done selling them. When we sold them, it was down back to the bottom. We didn't get 35-pound pigs. We got about $16 for them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so 16, there are 60-pound pigs for $10 or $12. And there's no way you can raise a 60-pound pig for $10 or $12.
For $10. No way.
That's hardly possible, see. But then, again, the market, you got to either keep them or sell them.
And
you can't afford to keep them.
You can't afford to feed them. Well, again, you were having to lease land to grow the food for that, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. It's corn ground now.
I can see why people can get out of that real easy. Well, who's making that profit? Somebody's making it.
The middleman's making it.
The packers?
I'd say, yeah, between the packers and the grocers, because when hogs drop, even now, you can't tell in the supermarket. Pork's not really dropped that much. It's dropped a little bit, but not that much.
Pork hasn't dropped any in 10 years.
Well, who is making that money? The farmer. The farmer sells it $50 cheaper than he did sell it for, like a... It has to be the middleman and the grocer. The grocer, well, you talk to them. No, we're not, man. We got to pay labor. We got to pay interest rates, blah, 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 blah. But so does the farmer. But we have to sell it at... We have... See, the difference between us and them, we have to sell it for whatever, no matter what. We have to get rid of it. The grocer can say, you have to pay this for this pork. People don't come in and say, well, I'll give you this. That's our problem. That's the farmer's problem. We are the victim. We have to pay. We have to take whatever. Whatever.
Well, you have to go right back to the grocery and buy it back.
I won't buy meat at a grocery store.
But the rest of us, we don't have a choice.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, we go in and we can pick for the cheapest, you know, and get by. But we can't haggle over the price.
No. You have to. You have to pay for what they want, and we have to take what they want.
So someone somewhere is making some money.
And it's the man in the middle.
Well, with interest rates the way they are, could you go out at your age now, buy a farm, stock it, and pay the payments on the farm?
No way.
You mean another farm?
Mm-hmm.
A good farm?
I mean, if you were beginning farming.
Oh.
Starting with nothing? No,
starting with nothing.
If I knew what I knew now, I wouldn't farm.
But would you get out now, altogether?
Would we right now?
Uh-huh.
We can't get out.
Would you want to, even? Altogether?
No. It's like cancer, and people say, you guys are crazy. You work too darn hard. We have no enjoyment out of life, as far as, you know, we get enjoyment out of this. You have to love it, or you can't put up with it. You got the weather fighting you. You got interest. You've got all this bull. You have to like it. It's like a disease. The more you get pushed down, the more we say, well, by God, let's hang on a little longer.
We'll make
it. The more in debt you go, and every year you think, this is the year. We've got it now. These cows are going to milk. It's got to happen.
And then we have a drought.
Yeah. And then you go back.
It's like a gamble, really.
But it's like a disease. It's like a, I don't know. I can't think of doing anything else, but I think farmers work too hard. They should at least be able to make a decent living. I don't want to live in this trailer for the rest of my life. There are things I want out of life. I don't want to always look like this. I can't even buy decent clothes. I could. The money's there. I could use it for that, but I'm not going to because I've got my bills to meet, and I meet my bills. But I would like to have a nice house. That's my dream. I'd love to have a house. I'm tired of this trailer. I'm tired of being cramped.
But if you had that house, if you had a nice house sitting in a subdivision somewhere.
No, I don't want a subdivision. I want a nice house on my farm. You know, why can't I have a nice house because I farm? You know, who said a farmer has to live in a little 2x4 trailer? Why? Because I work hard. I provide food.
For how many people?
They say the average farmer can feed 7 other families now. I don't know. That's the last I've heard. I don't know how many. I know that, I don't know, I feed a lot of people.
How much do you get for your milk, a gallon?
You get a what was it?
They sell it by the pound.
And that's not on this one.
Was 13. Last was 13. For 100 pounds of milk, we get $13. Now you figure out, a gallon of milk weighs 8.6 pounds. And the grocer gets, I forget, I don't know, how much is that?
$1.99.
How much does that come out that they're making on our 100 pounds? $13 for 100 pounds. No. That's 8 gallons?
That's 12 gallons for 100 pounds. So we're getting about $1.10 maybe for the milk. $1.10 a gallon.
For the milk.
Yeah.
And you're, if you go back to the store and buy it, you're paying $1.99, $2.
Well, I have no idea. I've never, I'm not even, no, just milk price in the store.
I think it's right at $2.
At home, right.
And you're having to buy the cattle, feed them.
Pay for
do all the
land that we can't even use.
Do all the interest. Did you inherit this farm or did you buy it?
I wish I inherited it.
If we inherited it, we could make it maybe.
Oh, if I didn't know
that. That's what I wanted to know. Yeah. If you had inherited it.
No, no.
If you didn't owe anything on the land, could you make it?
It'd be, problem. Anybody could if they didn't own nothing. But when you have to pay us high interest and everything like that, there's no way.
Well, look at it this way. If you inherited just the land, you come in and stock it with the cattle, the hogs, whatever you're going to raise, and buy the machinery. Are you going to clear enough to pay that off?
We could.
It would be close for the first few years, but it would work out. Yeah.
Could you have what you wanted then?
Maybe after 10, maybe 20 years.
It takes a long time to build up, especially on dairy. You just don't reproduce.
Your initial investment.
That's it.
You have to buy so much. You have to go so big to get in it. Like, we just had to get a new milk tank.
$3,000. Yeah. And you come, it's always something turning it.
You know, for a guy to go in dairy, and there's no way he could go. I mean, they won't even look at you anymore till for loans. If you say, I want a dairy farm. Get out of here, buddy.
So when you bought this, the dairy farm was already here. The equipment,
Everything
was here.
Yeah, we just bought it.
We
the majority of the equipment
came in, and then cattle farm
equipment was all here.
Mm-hmm. Milk house, it was all set up to go.
But there's no way you could have done it
if
it hadn't been here. If you had just bought the land,
no way.
Well, can you do that with any type farming? With beef or beef cattle, hog.
Do what?
Just come in, buy the land, begin farming.
I don't know if you can nowadays. Beef cattle, you'd have to have good fence.
You don't have to have near the best one with beef cattle as you do dairy. Because there you don't have to buy the milk tank milkers. Or the
you
milk
have a barn, you have to place. You just can't have a barn. You've got to have a place where you can keep these cows clean. Something that cement, you would hope. Free stalls where they can sleep and not get in this manure because of mastitis. That's the number one enemy of the dairy farmer. And if you have them laying in that manure, you're going to pay for it. So if you want to have a good place to keep them, then you've got to have manure handling. What are you going to do with that manure if you get out of the barn? You've got to get rid of it. You can't just pile it up. So that goes into a lot of money, what to do with the manure. And if you leave your cows in it, you're just asking for trouble. So you've got to think about all that.
Well, how big is your barn?
Big barn.
It's 60 foot long and about 110, 15 foot wide.
How much would it cost to build that barn now?
With all the concrete and everything that we've got for it, I'd say you'd be lucky to be just 50 or 60,000. Let's say it's cheap.
For one barn?
For a barn like
barn.
We've got. I mean, it's a big barn. And it's almost all cement.
Well, how many cattle will that take care of?
We're past the limit right now. We And the one place where we feed the cows and they've got a place to lay down, it's only half free stalls. We've only got half enough free stalls for what we've got. I store hay and the rest of it, more or less.
So you could even use a bigger...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We could use that. We could have a bigger barn if we could afford to put one up.
We need a bigger barn. We've got too many cows.
Well, what about the other dairy equipment? How much money do you have tied up there, approximately?
Since we've been here, I'd say $10,000 is what we've redone, because we've got pipeline milkers. We used to have a pail type. You had to pour it in a bucket and carry it into the tank room. And
big. Blah. And you have to carry and pour it. Oh, boy.
So now where does it go?
It's all pipeline. It's piped right into the tank now. We don't carry it now.
So you don't touch it, really?
Mm-hmm. No. It's never touched by human hands until, not even at the milk company, when they process it.
It just goes straight.
It stays in pipelines.
From the cow to the...
To the
to the processing plant.
Right to the jars and the bottles and the cartons. It's never touched.
He comes and puts it in the truck, and he's never touched it. The milkman never touched it.
And they take it from there and put it into big holding tanks, and that's never touched.
Jeez. He's talking about your milkers. Do you ever milk by hand?
No, I haven't. Well, not really. You know, milk complete cow out by hand. Not never.
Did your dad?
Yeah. He started out milking 18 or 20 cows by hand.
How many people did that take?
His team. He and mom.
It took a long time to milk them out, though, didn't it?
Yeah, I'd say. But you had strong hands. It's one good thing.
Well, how much is a milker? So the equipment other than the barn, the tank, the pipes, how much do you have sunk in that?
Close to $10,000 now for the milk, the new pipeline milkers that we've got in the tank. And they were all used. Now, this is not new
equipment. Yeah, we buy used equipment.
We had used equipment now. New equipment would have been way more. A new tank like we've got now is $8,500 just for the tank alone.
Now, will that, how many cows can you take care of with that?
Well, it depends on how much the cows are averaging. If they're averaging 50 pounds, we can handle 50 to 60 cows.
So any more cows, and you're going to have another tank.
Yeah.
No, well, but
like we are here, we can't handle that many more cows, because we're limited to what we can raise and feed our cows.
How many tons of feed do you use a year?
That's a hard question.
Well, we get 3 tons every 2 weeks. How many 2 weeks
are in there? That's 6 times. Oh,
6 times 12.
Or, like, kind of easier like this. Our feed bill at Southern States last year was $24,000 just for the feed.
That's just for the concentrate, the protein that they get in the milk cow.
Now, that's not counting.
That's not counting
raise.
Your hay that's and your silage. Your silage cost, well, I figured we had 600 or 700 ton, and you take 25 or $35 a ton, and then that runs into a lot of money on silage alone.
Ooh, I reckon.
Plus our hay.
Yeah, fertilizer, seed.
Yeah, seed. Well, yeah.
Fuel. How much is your fuel bill a year?
For the diesel tractors that we use, it $1,200-$1,500 a year.
What about the trucks?
Well, just in the silage. Just in the town that we were hauling silage home, it ran $900 for a truck.
That's just like 1 month.
That's just like from
a month. A month and a half it takes us to put silage in. That was 1 month fuel for the truck to haul the silage.
You can see why it's pretty discouraging to rent ground all over the county.
Well, that your fuel bill will be cut down a lot.
Oh, sure.
If you own the level land.
Oh, yeah.
But your other bills wouldn't go down, would they?
Yeah, because see, we wouldn't have to pay $2,500 for hay land. Well, it's really that's just for that one lease, and then there's $300 on the other piece, and then you add up all the corn leases, and well, you'd save a whole lot and just
and rent. The fuel that we have to haul tractors all over the country.
See, I would say altogether it would run $8,000 or $9,000. We could cut down.
Yeah.
leasing,
if we could just
and fuel, stuff like that.
Just
if we
get
ate
another land. Have you tried to sell out and buy other land?
No,
we keep talking
really.
About it. We're scared. We haven't found anything really, and we keep thinking. We keep thinking it's going to get better, and it'll look better. Then we'll be able to go and look, and then say through another. All of our loans are through FHA, the government. And, you know, if it looks better, we keep hoping it's going to get better.
We're in debt now. Why go deeper for a better farm?
Well,
when
really,
you can't get no more out of your product, you know.
If the prospects don't look any better, why leave?
Right.
That's what I was trying to get to. Why stay?
What else is there to do?
This is a start, more or less, we think.
At least, you know,
we're holding on right now.
Do you think it'll get better?
That's all we keep doing.
If we didn't think it would get better, I don't think we'd do it.
What do you think is going to be done to improve it? How's it going to get better?
It's going to knock a lot of people out.
Yeah.
The surplus, there's a big surplus in the milk industry, they say now.
Does that hurt the farmers?
Yeah. But three or four years ago they came. Why does UK do all these big studies? Why does the government always study in genetics? Why do they keep going after the perfect cow that can produce 100 pounds of milk a day? And why do they provide all these bulls, AI, artificial insemination? Why did they go? Why do they keep pushing? Why do they always want a better hay? Because they want more milk from more cow per farm.
But why do we have all this?
That's what I want to know. Why? Why did they keep pushing? They come to the farms. You all need to use AI. Get out of this.
Well,
get into this.
I can see that because if you've got a cow that's giving 100 pounds, why you can keep one cow compared to two cows? It's for their own individual basis, but still.
But they
you got better
pushing.
Cows. They keep pushing, you know, that you are to get bigger and better.
Well, now we can't even, and now they're coming and punishing us for producing milk. Now we're paying the CCC, whatever, Credit Commodity Corporation has taken out a big chunk of everybody's milk check to pay for the, I don't know if it's to pay for the cheese or the storage of the cheese, but they.
Now you're talking about the cheese that's being given away
you
now.
The surplus. The government had to buy because they support price the milk. The surplus, they couldn't use it, so the government had to buy it. They made it into cheese and butter and powdered milk. And, of course, the rest. I don't know why they don't export it. But anyway, we're paying for something. It's either to pay for the cheese or to store the cheese or to give it out or something. But anyway, they're taking out a big chunk of every milk producer's check to pay for the surplus.
The cheese.
Or whatever, the butter, the whatever.
Doesn't make sense because we got paid a very small amount to produce it. Now we have to pay to get rid of it.
To get rid of it.
That's stupid, really.
So they cut you back to produce it and they cut you again
to give it away and keep trying. They say they're hoping that would make farmers slack up on producing so much milk. But 90% of them are going to say, well, if they take that 50 cents out, I'm just going to add another cow to the line to make up for what they're taking
you
out.
You have to.
You have to.
Your bill is still the
really?
Same.
Right.
Your
really?
Interest doesn't go down
no.
because you drop
no.
one cow from your herd.
Yeah. And like I said, that's in 72, that's why we quit VI, because of the base. And if it hadn't worked from 72 to 83, what's it going to do any good now? They want everybody to go on base now. If it didn't work for them, how's it going to do any good now, really?
What's it going to do? Run so many of the small ones out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'd say. That's what they're planning on doing.
They got it all figured out.
Has there been a lot of dairy farmers gone out in Jackson County?
Not as I know.
Not yet.
And the ones that have, they've only swapped cans, like they'd sell out to somebody else and start in.
So it's really not helping.
So none of them just dropped out?
Mm-hmm.
They've not lost any milk.
But that's what the government hoped.
They think.
Maybe.
But that's so stupid. The government is saying you can't, we don't want any more milk, but FHA, that's a government. One guy goes out, they put another guy in. Why do they put another guy in? Why don't they just sell a farm? Because they'll lose a little bit of money.
Mm-hmm. And they keep building up surpluses.
Well, it looks like to me, since it's costing the farmer so much to make that cheese and then to get rid of it, why isn't someone paying for it?
Well, we are.
You are.
I mean, other than...
Well, see, they come on, haven't you heard all the big senators are on there saying the taxpayer is paying for it. They're telling now the taxpayer's paying $1 million a day to store this cheese. So we're all paying for it. But the thing that I don't understand, I know they can do something with all this surplus food. Why do we hear about everybody starving?
Why not?
And today I just heard... Reagan has put out he's got a committee set up because he said that they're telling him that there's hunger in America today, right now, and he's got a new committee, and that he's given them 90 days to come back with statistics on how many people are starving in America. I don't believe
it. If there are that many people starving in America, why aren't they getting food stamps?
Why aren't they feeding them cheese?
Right, or feed them cheese and butter.
I think that's what's wrong. Especially Jackson County, there's 2 dead-burn million people on food stamps.
How many do you think are in Jackson County?
I'd say they're fine.
I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't 90%.
Are on food stamps. How many on welfare?
Same amount.
I'd say that. Well, comparable, put them together, it would be running back close to 80. Everybody that I know about it is on food stamps and welfare. Another kid, another check. What the hell?
Was there any employment here?
No. They won't let anything come in this town.
There's no factories really. What is that clothing factory on there now? And they ain't got nobody.
But there's a lot of farm. They won't work for farmers.
But like in hay, when we have to pay out for hay, I tried to even pay a guy last time I hauled hay. Didn't even drive the truck. That's all I had to do was drive the truck.
He wouldn't even drive the truck. It was
too damn hot now.
And it was his friend who's on welfare and food stamps.
Is he an old man?
No, he's smiling.
He's nothing.
You know.
Unhealthy?
No, he's as healthy as I am. They're all healthy. What? It's just
why
like,
would they be healthy? All they do is sit. They don't do anything to stress their body.
They say, why work and cut out their check when they can sit on their butt and draw the check and make more money? Which is reasonably true. Why work? Really?
When they tell us, we're fools.
How do they do it?
They must not have any conscience, for one thing.
I mean, how could you do it? You couldn't.
I wouldn't want to.
But you couldn't. And I couldn't. I couldn't get welfare.
I wouldn't want a government to really keep me up and determine how much I would eat.
Everybody I know does. You know, like they built the apartments down there. I hate to say it, but it's just a...
Prostitute
house is what it is. Totally.
And it's
authority.
A federal.
Yeah.
It's a federally
funded, yes. If they don't make the bill,
if they can't pay the rent,
the government picks it up. They just built another great big new up on this hill. It's beautiful. You should see it. Girl over here has got 2 illegitimate children. Her rent's going to be $4 a month.
$4?
$4.
That's
right.
And then these kids are going to be brought up thinking the same thing. Everything's going to be given to them. And it's just a chain.
Well, we're in third or fourth generation of welfare and food stamps already, aren't we?
Sure. And I'm all for elderly people helping them. People like a few of my friends that's able-bodied to help and won't help.
I can't even look at his friends. They make me sick.
I know. Well, they ought to be cut out and made work.
Do they? Any of them have jobs?
What does I know of?
I mean, do any of these people on welfare, do they, any of them ever try to get out and make
a
few extra dollars?
Well, you know, they say, I tried finding jobs, I just can't find one. They ain't looking. You know, it's pretty discouraging for us because we've got 2 or 3 living right here in front of us, and we're out in the snow and sleet and hail and hauling shit and shit all over us, and it's in our big warm house drinking Budweiser, you know, shaking it out.
They tell us all the time we're cool.
They make more sitting there drinking their beer than they can out working.
But you don't you think someday that's all going to end?
How can it? It's a big now.
But
I don't think it will.
I don't think we can't keep affording it.
We can't afford it, but, okay, look at these people that run the country. They're all millionaires. They're all rich guys. They don't know what it's like out here. And it takes a few people. Now, like on this thing about hunger, they don't know. They hear a few people cry, and I know... From where I lived and raised, you go up there and they talk about a specific church, as a matter of fact, does a lot of work down here. And you go home where I'm from and they come up there to the other churches and they say, the poor mountain people in Appalachia, please give. They have nothing. When I came down here, I couldn't believe it. They have nothing because they don't want anything. And I went home and told them. I said, you guys are crazy. You come down here, and I have educated. I brought them all down here, and I showed them.
The only poor people I've seen in Appalachia are the ones that are working. The working class.
I knew it was bitter, but I never had to look at it right in the face. I knew there was welfare and food stamps, and I thought it was just. When you don't know, when you know from the outside, you think it's a good thing. And it does help some people. But the abuse of it is not right. The abuse is costing us, you,
every taxpayer, every working person.
And I can give you four examples right here next to us of abuse of food stamps. They've told us so many, like, no, I can't work because if I make any money, they'll cut my food stamps. And they go down there and they lie about it. And then they do work sometimes, and they make a lot of money. And they won't take a check. Of course, I pay by check, because I'm...
But all of them want cash, don't they? Mm-hmm. So it won't be reported.
Well, we don't pay cash. We pay checks.
Everything, I pay a check.
That's the reason you can't find anybody to work for you.
It's too hot. Right?
It's too hot. It's unbelievable what a mess it's gotten into. And the farmers are the ones that are really... picking up the slack and paying.
We're paying double for
most.
It.
Sure.
Your groceries are the same price as their groceries.
No, because their groceries are free.
Yeah.
My groceries, I have to get out in the garden and make my groceries.
Yeah, but what you have to buy at the grocery is the same price that they have to pay, but they're paying with food stamps.
Right.
It's not costing them anything.
It's costing us double. We get kicked two ways. We produce the food. We don't get anything for it. Plus, we get taxed, so we're paying double for them.
Was there anything here that the local elected officials do to help the farmer?
They don't help anybody but themselves.
They don't have the farmer's benefit at heart here at all.
I don't know.
Yeah, they have. I've not seen that.
Well, let me tell you about this PIC program. Have you heard about the PIC program? Ooh. Payment in kind. The government came up with this great idea.
Oh, yeah, if you don't raise corn.
Oh,
for
yeah,
the poor grain farmers.
Soil banks.
Which they really got hurt. The grain farmers got destroyed with this grain. Surplusing grain, okay? Government won't export it. They won't utilize it. They leave it. So they said, if you don't grow your corn, we'll pay you. We'll give you money, or corn. So we got in on it. We put these two fields in it. So you have to sign a paper saying, you know, what you have to do, all what they
you
say.
You have to sow a cover crop.
You have to sow a cover crop to keep the soil so it doesn't erode. So we did. We put alfalfa. We went to alfalfa, which is the best legume there is for and dairy cattle. It's like the Cadillac of feeds of hay. And it did excellent. I mean, it did excellent. The first cutting, it was unreal. We got punished because they said you can't cut it the first year. The first 6 months, in September, you can graze it, and that's all you can do. And if the weeds take it, well, this one out here, Cuckleburg, took over, and they were taking the alfalfa. I mean, they were this tall, and the alfalfa was dying. We had to cut it. So we had to go down to the ASCS office and tell them we had to cancel. For us to cancel, we had to pay them $309.
I said, for what? We didn't even get
the corn. I said, what am I paying $309 for? For the paperwork to do all this. Paperwork.
For the paperwork?
Oh, and this time on paper.
That's unbelievable.
We didn't even get any corn, see, because we're not going to get any corn or anything from this program because we had to cancel. Because if we didn't cut that alfalfa, we would have lost it. It's got to last for 5 years. You seed it for 5 years.
Mm. 12 acres cost us $1,500 free seed, fertilizer, and stuff like that.
Plus $300.
I couldn't believe it.
What is the government trying to do to us?
You know, I could see if we'd got the corn, paid the corn back, but we hadn't touched nothing. We ain't done nothing. We ain't even heard nothing from it. Just went down there and signed it. And they said, just for signing the contract, you have to get out like.
And if they caught you cutting it and you didn't cancel, they would penalize you plus $309. So I told Doug, there's no way. I'm not messing with the government. Let's go cancel. We have to get that couple birds out there.
Well, do they have enough surplus to pay all these farmers, plus with this drought?
I don't know what they got.
Corn farmers all over the United States are going to lose corn this year with the drought.
Yeah.
Are they going to have enough surplus to feed it back up? If not, what's it going to do to the farmer? What's it going to do to the feed for the cattle and the hogs?
It's going to make it go sky high, exactly what they want.
It's
going to be
red.
So
still
high.
$24,000 is going to be $34,000 or $50,000 just to feed your cattle.
And see what they've done too. They think they're helping the grain farmer, but they're not helping the cattle farmer. Everybody's going to have this corn in the fall. What are they going to do with this corn? They're going to have to feed it to something. So they're going to all buy cattle or hogs, and they're going to feed it, and they're going to flood the market, and then the cattle farmer's going to lose his butt again. And the hog farmer, which he's doing now, hogs are back down to nothing.
A vicious cycle. And it's not going to change, is it?
Not unless the government gets and starts exporting and trading all this surplus food we've got with these other countries that are supposedly starting with it.
I don't understand why they can't trade it for a Japanese car or whatever, or something. You know, and still buying the things. Well, they just swap.
Or trade, or
you know,
something.
More or less trade for stuff.
I don't see why, you know, it's all politics.
What about all the stuff we're importing, the tobacco especially? We import cattle, too. We import beef.
The tobacco, I listened to a radio, and it's getting more of the United States is going to be bad picky on how they raise their tobacco. They're getting in competition now.
Is that labor? Are we importing it because it's cheap?
Well, yeah, that's a big part of it, too. But then the other countries now they're getting better educated, and they're putting out just as good quality tobacco as the United States is, if not better.
What percentage do we import, do you know?
I have no idea.
You know, it's terrible that we don't keep up. We can't really keep up. Like, what's going on in the milk?
It's in the news, really.
Mm-hmm. We should be the first one involved and told about stuff. We can go ask the milk company, what's going on? What, you know, where do we find out? Well, we don't really know what's going on. We'll just have to let y'all know. So where do you go find out? I know one farmer. Some farmers do keep up. George Purcell, he's good. He keeps up with a lot of stuff. Because he's got time, he's got a big farm, and he's got a lot of help that he can go to these meetings. We can't
find out what's going on.
Which is hurting us because we can't keep up. So we don't know. We really should try to keep up with.
Well, isn't that the complaint of most of the small farmers, though?
Yeah.
You know, you just do not have the time.
He has to, everything he's got, he has to, you know, just to keep his head above water. There's no time for frivolous stuff, which that really shouldn't be frivolous, to be able to go to a meeting to hear about your future.
Well, to even be able for recreation or...
Really?
Take off the mental strain shouldn't be frivolous.
No, it shouldn't.
But farmers don't have that time, do they?
Not any that we know. The guys that have these big, fine farms that... they have for a tax shelter. Yeah, they have time. They don't ever get dirty. They're the ones that's another thing the government, I don't know why can, see, they take up our surplus too. These guys that really don't farm for a living that are in it for tax breaks and stuff. So they're taking a lot of our surplus out. I think the government should tell them, you know, if people aren't farming for a living, they shouldn't farm.
Or they shouldn't reap all the benefits.
That's right.
Because they're the ones that reap it.
There should be some kind of control on that. We should be able to make a decent living, and they shouldn't be able to suffer everything. They take our surplus. The beef cattle, that big farm in Richmond, that guy has that big farm. Beautiful. Makes farming look like on Dallas. Makes it look like fun and games.
Mm-hmm.
He's just in it to get rid of some of that extra money so the government can't come and take it away.
It's a tax shelter.
But he's also producing beef and food, which is taking away this poor guy down the street who needs that beef cattle to be sold at 60 cents so he can pay his bill, or so his family, so his little kid can have a bicycle, so he can have a nice house.
So it's People like that aren't going to be hurt either, are they?
No.
I mean, no matter how low it goes, they have another job.
Why, that's, well, and if, I guess the lower it goes for him, the better it is, because the more money he loses in farming, the more money he gets to keep because of his other business.
Right. And if farming goes down the drain for him, so what?
That's right.
But if it goes down the drain for you people, that's it. You don't have that job to fall back on. Well, what about the state officials? Do the elected officials help the farmer any at all? Senators, representatives?
Not one guy tries to, I guess. What's his name, Huddleston? He talks about tobacco all the time.
Well, really, Jackson County is a tobacco county. That's their main crop.
I think he's trying to keep a hold of the tobacco.
So you think he's doing maybe all he can, or at least he's trying?
I really don't know. Because, like I said, we don't keep up with it. We should. It's terrible. I feel terrible.
What about the federal government? Do they offer any help at all, or is it? If so, what kind of help?
They have, the program, like the ASDS office. They'll pay, if you want to reseed your land, you have to do what they say, how they say to do it. When some of the times it's ridiculous what they say. The seeding rate is ridiculous, but you have to do what they say.
In order to get in the program.
Yeah. They'll pay half. Is there any more programs?
Well, there's a lot of programs, I'd say, but in Jackson County, just because of the paperwork, they figure it didn't work well.
In some counties, if you use a cover crop after you take your corn or stuff off, they'll pay for half of that. They don't in this county because they don't want to fool with it. If you lose, used to be, if your corn got flooded or something, there were programs, but there's not anymore. You have to take your own insurance that way.
But do you have insurance on any of your crops?
Mm-mm, not on crops.
But you do have on the cattle.
Yeah, cattle, machinery, and farming, all yeah.
But
how much does that run a year?
$900 and some. You ready to quit now?
I'm ready to
quit.
Plus, they're not
insured. They're not insured enough.
And then really, they're not insured where the value hits us.
If we lost, they got burned up or destroyed by lightning or something, we wouldn't be able to replace maybe half.
But it's just something.
Yeah.
Just to keep you in.
Yep.
If you had your time to go over, just married, would you go into farming?
Probably I would. Because it's enjoyable. I love what I'm doing. It's kind of like...
But it's so discouraging.
It's discouraging in ways, but in ways you have good times. If you didn't like it, you wouldn't be in, or you don't need to be in it, really.
You'd go crazy. You'd lose your mind.
I'd say a farmer.
Yourself.
I'd say a lot of people couldn't handle being a farmer.
They
the stress and the pressures on them. People don't realize really
no, they think
how hard
fun.
It is.
I mean, we have major disasters that would put most people out.
1 week, we lost $2,500, $3,000. Two cows died. Took one to market, and she died. And the
while
I was gone, she was chopping silage, and the silage chopper belts come off and run the blades and that. And that's $1,800 to replace
this
the blade.
This was one day.
And then the hydraulic cylinder jerked off the wagon, and we had to get one of those, and that was nothing. And I said nothing else can go wrong, and the lift and the tractor busted.
I think that was our worst day ever.
$20,000
$3,000, I think it was, something like that.
I mean, we lost two good cows, took them to the stockyards. Yeah. One of them dropped dead, had a heart attack. They were kind of old. They weren't crippled or anything. They were nice looking cows.
They were just old family cows that never been in any excitement.
She'd never been off this farm, and we hated to sell her. That's another hard thing about farming. You get attached to these old cows, buddy. They work hard as you do trying to give you this milk, and then you have to end up turn around and kill them. Or you don't kill them, but you know where they're going. And the stockyards, they beat them, and it's awful. And I'm kind of glad because
had a heart attack.
I did not want somebody to shoot her. And half the times they don't shoot them, they just hang them up and slit the throat. They don't even kill them. And I was not, you know, I was kind of glad she died because then she didn't have to go through all that. But then the other one, she got down in the truck and the cow stepped on her and they did something to her leg or something and they couldn't get her up at the stockyard, so they laid her back in the back.
Give us about half of what she was worth.
And some slaughterhouse came and got her.
I'd be tempted to bring her back home and...
Well, if you can't get her back up, it's hard to lift 1,300-pound cow.
Yeah, she's a...
Yeah, well, still, that's a lot of beef.
Yeah, but then you brought her back home. What would you do?
I can't eat
hamburgers.
I can't...
It would have paid us. We could have sold a hamburger.
We
could
have. Right, but, you know, we were right in silence, and we couldn't think.
That was a pressured time, I tell you.
Well, do you grow your own beef to, to eat?
We don't really. And usually we don't get to eat the best ones. We just eat the ones that, like one bull drowned it right there in this little bitty water trough. We had to eat him. Doug saw him kicking. He ran down trying to get him out. By the time he got down there, he's dead. He said, bring the chamber down here. So he pulled him out, slit his throat, took him to, you know, that's what we get to eat. Because we can't afford to eat.
The ones that accidentally, you hope one accidentally gets killed
during
the year, so you'll...
If the sow breaks her leg, we'll eat her. But we never get to eat the prime stuff.
Can't afford it.
You got to sell it. You've got to get...
Well, you grow your own vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
You freeze them in cans.
Mm-hmm.
That cuts down on your grocery bill considerably.
Yeah. So.
With your pork and, and beef, everything.
But that's another thing, too. Well, like these... Food Scout people, they've got plenty of room for gardens if they want to raise it. Because they can get food stamps, why not? Too hot to be out in the sun.
And that's like, what they told
me. And like on this cutback, they've already taken 50 cents out, getting back to that. Well, they're taking 50 cents out of 100 on their milk, and feed's jumped $20 a ton since that's happened. Now, how in the heck are you supposed to pay for the feed when you're getting less for your product and having to pay for your feed back?
You have to add a couple of cows to the line.
That's right.
And then there, you go back and they'll say,
they think, I don't know what they think, by cutting us. And your bills are still the same, your interest is still the same. They're not going to get this surplus by taking more money from us. Because we've got to put more cows in the line to get that money back to pay our bills.
Will it eventually run people like you all out?
Yeah. If it doesn't change, that's probably where we're headed. But we're going to hang on till the very last. The government has got all us. They've got us in all of our loans are through FHA. And they say it takes them a while to foreclose. But
well, is that a help now to the farmer?
What?
The FHA. That's
yeah,
the lower
sure,
interest.
The FHA guy here has
really
been excellent to us. Because he knows that we work so hard, and he scratches his brain to why can't we make it? Because he tells us, I don't know anybody that works like you two, that you know can manage like you two. There's got to be a way, and he really does try to help us. But in that point, the government does. They try.
With that low interest?
It depends. Well, no, our interest.